This is Digital Story Podcast number 636, May 22nd, 2018. Today's theme is The True Summer Advantage. I'm Derek Story. Summer is the season of family vacations, solo adventure, barbecuing, baseball games, picnics, and bare feet. But for photographers, there's another benefit that might not be immediately apparent, but can be wildly useful and enjoyable. And that's the subject of today's TDS Photography Podcast. Light is the one thing that we need for photography, right? And there's plenty of it during the summer, and not so much the warmer days that I'm talking about here, but the longer ones. So even if you can't take as many photo vacations or workshops as you wish, with a little planning, you can substantially increase your captures during the summer. And here's how. Now, before I tell you my plan for this, my plan for you to have many more photo shoots in your library at the end of the summer, I want to tell you a little story. So I was over at a friend's house last night, and he's a writer, and he was talking about that he doesn't have enough time to read. As a writer, he really loves reading as well. And he's saying, you know, I have all these projects. I always have all these things to do. And I don't have time just to sit down for 2 or 3 hours and read a book. And his wife was sitting over there and she's going, well, you know, you're the one that creates these projects. Oh, and he smiled. He says, yes, but they're important. So I was thinking about this conversation afterwards. And yes, this is what we do. And in our case, we're photographers. So instead of being able to sit down and read a book, we want to go out and take pictures. But we can't do that as much as we want. If we have a regular job and if we have all these responsibilities, these projects, as my friend would say, then it's hard to go out and get captures. Now, yes, we get a family vacation. And yes, we can attend a workshop or two, hopefully, during the year. But what about the rest of the time? You know, we've probably thoroughly saturated the area around our house because that's what we do, right? When we have a little bit of free time, we grab our camera and go explore around our house because, you know, on the weekends, there we are and take a walk and maybe we find a picture or two. But in my case, and maybe yours, we've been doing that for a while and okay, every now and then might get a picture, but it's not fresh. It's not fresh, the scenery, and maybe it's not as exciting. So now let's switch to work. I'm going to create a scenario here to illustrate this point, and then you can apply it to your own life. So let's say that this photographer has a job that he has to check in at 8:30 in the morning, and he gets to check out at 5:30 at night, 5:30 in the afternoon. And let's say his commute is, 30 minutes to work. So during the winter, of course, this is like, he has nothing but darkness, really. And when there is light, he's in the office. But in the summer, it's light when this photographer goes to work, and it's light when this photographer comes home. So instead of just coming home at 5:35, what if this photographer brought his camera bag on one particular day and had a plan to go shoot right after work and then come home after that. Now, obviously, he's going to be home a little later, but this isn't an every night thing. This is just every now and then. This is a planned photo shoot. So clearance has been made all the way around. Accommodations have been secured. We're ready to go. Imagine that if you did that just once or twice a month, at the end of the summer, you would have 6 more photo shoots in your library than you had at the beginning of the summer, or that you would have if you just went about your normal routine. So I was thinking about, okay, how can we really be strategic about this? How can we do this so that it's really efficient? And I was thinking, all right, maps, right? I love maps. Maps are great. Get out a map, and on this map, and it could be electronic, it'd be paper, whatever type of map you like. I like all maps. I don't care what format they are. And on the map, find where you work. Okay, so there it is. That is the center, right there. That is the center of this particular project. Then think about, okay, how far can I travel in 45 minutes or an hour from the center point? And you can choose whatever mode you want. It could be walking, it could be driving, it could be taking public transportation. Let's say in this case, it's driving. Okay, so you have the center of the map where you work, and then you go, I can drive this far in half an hour. And then you make that distance, you make kind of a circle around that center point about however far that you can go in that amount of time. Now, obviously, roads vary when you go north versus east and all that kind of stuff, but this is just for planning purposes. So you have a radius with your work in the middle, and then you have the circle around it. And then look at that circle and go, now, what is inside the circle that is interesting, that would make an interesting photo shoot? And you can zoom in on certain areas and think about, well, I was over here for lunch a few weeks ago, and there was some interesting stuff around there that I thought might be good photography, but I didn't really have time because I was just on lunch hour, and you know, we had to take care of this and that and then get back to the office. So what if you went back to that area and explored it with your camera after work? And then you could have different circles for different modes of transportation. So you could have one for public, you could have one for walking. You know, how far, you know, can I walk from, you know, my office in a half an hour after work is over, and what is within that circle that I can photograph? Then start to put together some photo shoots based on this planning that you've done. And you should be able to, unless you just work in the middle of nowhere and you work on a farm. But most of us would work in somewhere where there should be many possibilities, you know, in the area that's around you. So you make a list with those possibilities and you put them in some sort of order. And then you decide, okay, next Wednesday, instead of coming straight home from work, I want to do shoot number one. And then a week later or 2 weeks later, on a Thursday, I want to do shoot number two. And plan that out. Plan that out, let's say, for a couple months. And then that gives you the opportunity to make any arrangements if you need coverage at home, if someone needs to feed the cat, you know, all that kind of stuff. So you have that all planned out. Now you have a game plan. And then you start thinking about, okay, on this first shoot is going to be an urban shoot because I'm going to walk, you know, 20 minutes over to this area that I've wanted to explore forever. So then you bring the appropriate gear for that. And obviously you're not going to be showing a lot of stuff on an urban shoot, and you're going to pack accordingly. And then maybe on another shoot, you're going to drive for an hour, and this gets you out to this country spot that maybe has a nice horizon where the sun is setting. And you go, wow, that would be really great. So for that day, you might have a tripod, and you might have, you know, some of the gear that you would use for landscape work and, you know, that kind of stuff. And really plan this out. Now, it's interesting, as you build this game plan for these after-work shoots, you may actually come up with a variety of stuff that you're going, wow, this is really going to build out, you know, my photo library. This is stuff that I don't have time to shoot normally, that now I have this game plan to add to my library. And it doesn't just have to be that kind of stuff. You could arrange for a portrait session too. Let's say that on one of these shoots, let's say an urban shoot that's within walking distance, you find this area that would be really good for a portrait shoot. You go, wow, I mean, I'm gonna go ahead and shoot it now and shoot a little street photography, but this one spot right here, that would be really good for an environmental portrait. So then you start thinking about who can I get to help me after work for an environmental portrait. And then you set something up like that. You see, one thing can lead to another, can lead to another. Now, this is all time that is really, in a sense, free time. Because normally what you would do, if you're like most folks, is that you would check out of work, And then you would come home and you would do your routine. You would do your projects for the night. And that may include preparing dinner. That may include maybe you're the one that cleans up after dinner. Maybe doing a few chores around the place. Maybe it's just watching TV. Or maybe it's just reading a book, which would be really funny given the example that I used earlier. At any rate, this would be something different. And think about it, we can do this during the summer. Now, obviously, I'm planning this podcast right now. I'm planting the seed right now because the long days are still here in North America anyway. The long days are still a little ahead of us. So we have a little time to do this planning, a little time to be thinking about, you know, what can we do with this free time that we have after work. Now, another thing that you could do along these lines, there are so many variations on this theme. It gets really interesting once you dig into it. Let's say that you normally drive to work, but on one of these shoot days, you're going to take public transportation. And that, let's say that public transportation has to be a train on this particular day. So let's say that you've seen the spot, the station on the way home, that if you got off there, there would be something interesting to do. So you go, okay, you know what? I'm not going to drive today. I'm going to take the train. I'll go in. I'll do my work. I'll get on the train, start heading home. But instead of coming all the way to the station I normally would get out at, I'm going to stop at this station, get out, walk around for a little bit, explore, take some pictures, and then get back on the train and come home. And, you know, the planning would involve you knowing when you have to be back at the train station to pick up the next train so that you could be home at the certain time, you know, all that kind of stuff. But the planning part is easy. Seriously, you could probably plan each shoot that you're going to do after work, you know, an hour or so at night. And maybe you even want to look up some pictures from that area. Maybe you just want to go to Google Earth and see what's happening, you know, all that kind of stuff. So let's say a little bit of planning time and then the actual shoot. And if you think about doing this for this summer coming up, it would be very interesting for me to hear that if you did this, how many shots that you like that you ended up with at the end of the summer that were in addition to your vacation, your weekend getaways when you get to do them, and maybe a workshop or two that you go to. I think it could be a substantial number. I really do. So this is my idea for this coming summer on a way to get us out there to use this photo equipment that we have and love so much to add more pictures to our library, but yet we're not really disrupting our daily life. We're just making a few little planned excursions just a couple times a month, and then see what benefits we can reap from just doing that little bit of planning and that little bit of exploring. So that's my idea for this coming summer. The true summer advantage is the longer days. Can we put them to use, and can we come away with some great photography as a result? The Portfolio Project, week 3, wandering. Oh, it's so perfect how this all works out. You know, I plan these and I write out the podcast and everything. I do a lot of work. It takes up my entire Monday. However, sometimes things just sort of fall together, sort of like my own collective unconscious. Anyway, so I've been working, as you know, if you've been listening the last couple of weeks, with Portfolio Box. And I have been creating a portfolio project, my own very portfolio project, which I have wanted to do for the longest time. So the very first week, I posted Cuba. That was the gallery that I put up. The second week, which was last week, I did portraits of women. And that gallery went up. And then I was thinking, okay, in fact, I even told you last week, all right, I'm going to do events for week number 3. And I'll do street photography for week number 4. So I started working on events for my next gallery, my next portfolio box gallery. And it was pretty uninteresting. And I mean, I shoot a lot of events, but as I was digging into them, I was just going, there aren't really shots here that I want. I mean, the portraits of women, I thought that was a nice gallery in the sense that they weren't just your standard portraits. There was a lot of fun stuff in there and a little bit of energy and, you know, nothing wacky, but it moved. It moved to me. And my event stuff just felt like the stuff that was on a shot list all the time. And I really couldn't put together a gallery that I thought was interesting. Now, it was good for the people that hired me because it got the job done and they got their PR shots and they got their shots for the website that they're going to use for the next year and all that kind of stuff. It was great for them. But for my portfolio box page, I didn't really like it. So now I'm going, okay, what am I going to do? Maybe I'll just skip over to street photography. So I was looking at all my street photography stuff. And I go, you know what? I don't really want to do a straight street photography page either. This is funny how this process is. It's just really crazy. And so I was started playing around and said, okay, I'm just going to pull pictures from when I'm out and about and put them in a folder here and then see what I think. And I did that. And I got about 60 shots in there. I'm looking at these shots and I go, yeah, this is what I'm talking about. But some of them were urban and some of them were maybe outside of urban just a little bit, but I was out and about and some of them were when I was in a car. You know, I mean, there's all this kind of stuff and I was going, okay, so it's not really street photography. It's not really travel photography. What is it? And it's just me doing what I do, which is wandering around the world with a camera. I mean, at the end of the day, that's really my favorite thing to do with photography, and I end up doing it a lot, which is just wandering around with a camera. So I thought, why don't I make a gallery titled Wandering and then choose the shots that go in there? And once I did that, boy, then I started liking what I was doing. And I was picking shots that some I've never published before, some I have published before, some I put in books. Anyway, they were from all over the place. And the next part of the process was really interesting because just like probably most people do, I picked the 16 that I thought were, you know, really pretty good shots. But I put them together, and even though individually they were pretty good shots, they weren't hanging together on the page when I looked at the page. So then I go, okay, I'm going to pull this shot out, even though I really like it. And that's the hardest thing to do, right? When you really like a shot and you have to pull it out. But I did that. I would do that. And then I'd put in one that fit better with the shots around it. And then I go, oh, okay, that solved that problem. And then I'd be rolling along and then I get to another shot. Again, I really liked it, but it didn't work with the other shots around it. So I pulled it out and I put in one that worked. So I went through this refinement process. Oh, I don't know, probably substituted 5 or 6 shots out of the original 16 to get where I wanted. But once I got where I wanted and once the gallery flowed the way that felt good to me, then I was really happy. And now I like the gallery. A, because it's a little different. You know, this wandering concept is a little different. And then I wanted to try something new. Okay, since I'm wandering and I have the pictures there, it'd be nice to know, you know, where these shots were taken if you're a viewer. But I didn't want to have captions and stuff underneath it and all that. I really like the clean look of portfolio box galleries. So I was looking in the settings in portfolio box and one setting, and all of this stuff is just, you know, checking a box. You just check the box and you get this thing. One of the settings was an overlay on the image when you mouse over it. So when you're looking at the gallery page, now on Wandering, all you have to do is mouse over an image and you get this really nice screen and then you get the location, the type. You get that in very nice typography in the screen right over the picture. And then if you mouse off, then you see the picture. And you mouse on, and you get to see the location. So you've got to do this. You've got to go over to this page and check this out. So I haven't created any clutter on the gallery page. I've got all my shots sort of working there. And then I've got this cool new thing that Portfolio Box allows me to do where I can just mouse over and then see where the location was. And it just works great. It looks so nice. It's so beautiful and so clean. So the more I use the Portfolio Box platform, the more I really like it. And apparently I'm not the only one. I have a couple of listeners here who have chimed in, who have written me through the contact form on the Nimble Photographer. And the first one I want to share with you is Chuck. And what Chuck wrote was, "You recently talked about personal projects, and after 50 years, I had a recent epiphany and came up with a long-term personal project that will feed my soul during retirement. I never had a website before either, but just yesterday signed up for Portfolio Box because of your review. Now I am consumed with reaching out to artisans and craftsmen that I want to photograph for my personal project. Then there's all the follow-up and my website and my Instagram account and all that good stuff goes along with nurturing this personal project. I've been retired for 9 months and now my mind is on fire." Oh, I love that. I love that so much. That is very cool. Oh, and I have another one here. Actually, I have a few of them, but I want to read this one from Dakers, who said, "Just signed up. Domain name was confirmed in 6 minutes. Looking forward to creating my site." And I love that. That's the same experience that I had when I created my domain name, that it was ready. I got the email. I mean, it was maybe 10 minutes later that DerekStoryPhotography.com was ready to go. So as you can tell, I'm having a blast with this. And yes, I guess it is a personal project. Just really creating a site that has images that I build page by page the way that I want, without any clutter or anything like that. There is a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story, a Portfolio Box tile. If you click on that, you get a 20% discount if you go beyond the free site. Now, they have a great free site available and you can really learn it. But to really get the custom domain name and to be able to put up to 1,000 images and all that stuff, you would need the professional site, which is $82.80 a year. But that is before the 20% discount that you get from the Digital Story. This is really a fun platform. It is so beautiful, so clean, so easy to use. And it just really allows me to think about the collection of images themselves and not worry about all the other stuff. So if you're interested in doing a personal project like this, or if you want a portfolio site or something dedicated, or if you want a really clean way to show pictures to clients, because you can password protect your images as well, password protect pages, then take a look. Click on the tile on all the pages of Digital Story, or go to the link that I have in the show notes and take a look at what they have to offer. And go over to my site, DerekStoryPhotography.com. The latest page, the latest gallery is Wandering. And check out that new thing where you mouse over the image and get to see the location. Portfolio Box, it's really good stuff, and I'm having a blast with it. The Panasonic Lumix TS7/FT7, depending on where you are, is the first rugged compact camera with a built-in electronic viewfinder. So DP Review reports, and I thought this was a good thing to talk about. Again, following the summer is coming theme here, Panasonic has announced its Lumix DC TS7, or FT7 outside of North America, which is the first waterproof slash rugged compact to have an electronic viewfinder. The viewfinder has a resolution equivalent to 1.17 million dots, a million dots, a magnification of 0.45 times equivalent. Obviously, you won't be able to use the electronic viewfinder if you have a scuba mask on, but for shooting in bright light on land, it could come in handy. There's also a 3-inch non-touch LCD available for composing and reviewing your photos. It also has a 20.4 megapixel 1 over 2.3-inch BSI CMOS sensor, an f3.3 to f5.9, 28mm to 128mm equivalent zoom lens. It's able to go 102 feet underwater, can take a fall from 6.6 feet, and can withstand 220 pounds of crushing force. It's also freeze-proof to 14 degrees Fahrenheit. So it sounds like the Olympus Tough has a competitor here. And I tell you, over time and all the different cameras, you know, all-weather cameras I've tested over the years, I always come back to the Olympus Tough. I'm shooting with a TG4 right now. There's a TG5 out that's really good that I just haven't needed because my TG4 is doing such a great job. So I have stuck with that series this whole time. However, I am really curious about this new Panasonic Lumix, the TS7. I want an electronic viewfinder. I love electronic viewfinders, and they hit the nail right on the head. It's not when I'm in the water that I need it. It's when I'm using it as a camera just bouncing around. So I'm trying to get my hands on one now so I can test it. And if I can, I'll definitely do a review on it. If you get your hands on one, please let me know. You can use the contact form on the nimblephotographer.com and let me know what you think of it. And like I said, I'm going to try to get my hands on one. First one that gets one gives a short review. How's that sound? Alrighty here, just a couple more things to cover. I want to talk about the Burney Falls / Lassen Volcanic National Park workshop. I have been working on that with somebody who is an expert up in this area here. She actually owns a home up there. And with my great fortune, she came to one of my earlier workshops and she said, "Wow, you're doing this thing up at Lassen Volcanic National Park. Are you interested in some help?" And I said, "Oh my gosh, I would love it so much." So we met for coffee and we started kind of mapping things out. And this workshop just went to another level, I can tell you right now. I am super excited about it. As it stands right now, the only people that have had access to this workshop are those on the reserve list. I haven't announced it to the public or done any public promotion of it yet. I'm going to stick to that for probably another week or so, and then I'm going to round out the last couple spots by doing a public promotion. So if you're interested in this workshop, and it's on September 27th through the 29th, 2018, so it's going to be later this year, I can tell you right now that this workshop is coming together in a big way, and that is going to be quite an event. And we're all going to stay together. We have a lot of very interesting photo shoots planned, and we're in an area that is extremely special where we have a lot of options. I mean, one of our biggest challenges has been, as we're working on it, is to narrow down to just the things that we really want to do. So if you're on the reserve list, you should have a reservation form or a link to the reservation form. And if you didn't get one, just send me a note. All you have to do is go to the contact form at the nimblephotographer.com and let me know that you need the link. And if you haven't had a chance to get on the reserve list, do it now. And then I will send you the link to the reservation form and the itinerary. And again, you can get to that by just going to the workshops page on the digital story. Use the send me info. There's only like 3 fields you have to click off, and then I'll get right back to you. But if you're interested in going on this, I would take care of this now before I open up to the public, because this one is definitely going to fill up, and we only have so much space, and we can only accommodate so many people. You know, this one, I'm going to cut it off at 8. I can't really take any more, and we've already had quite a few signups. So again, that's our fall workshop, Burney Falls and Lassen Volcanic National Park, September 27 through 29, 2018. Get on the reserve list if you haven't already and you want to come and join us for what I think is going to be an amazing event. A big thanks to all of our Inner Circle members who support this podcast and all the Digital Story activities through Patreon. Really appreciate your support, and I love hearing from you. I like it now that folks, when they contact me about this or that or a question or whatever, that they're now letting me know, you're now letting me know, hey, I'm a supporter, I'm an Inner Circle member, and that gives me a chance to thank you personally, and I love it when I have the opportunity to do that. So whenever you contact me or you come to a workshop or whatever you happen to do, if you are an Inner Circle member, be sure to let me know so I can thank you for your support. And remember, you're the ones that are keeping the lights on, and I so appreciate that. And a big thanks to our friends at Red River Paper, who've been keeping the lights on for a long time here. They supply inkjet paper and all the related supplies, including ink and envelopes and all the good stuff. Been a lot of interest in the fine art cards lately, and they are the place to get the stuff. In fact, I don't even know where else you can go to get the array of different paper stocks and glassine sleeves and envelopes and all the stuff that you need for making fine art cards. Is there another supply out there that has the array and the choice that Red River Paper has? I doubt it very much. They have a tile on all the pages of the digital story, and they also have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. Get some paper, make some prints, share them with people, and make them happy. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I'm excited about this upcoming summer. I really am. I'm going to try to maximize my shooting opportunities as well. I feel much better armed now that I've put together this podcast because it allows me to work on my own plan. I hope you got a plan going or that you will have a plan going. Make sure you come by next week for another show. I'm going to be ready for you. Until then, have a great week. See you Tuesday. Bye-bye now.